Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships,
and so much more.
Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the GSMC MMA Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. As usual, I'm your host, Tate, and today we are going to be catching up with a little UFC and MMA news. We're going to be talking a little bit about Brock Lesnar. We're going to talk a little bit about Paige VanZant. Once again, talk a little more about Khabib and Tony Ferguson, along with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And if we have a little more time, we're going to cover a little bit about some drug suspensions and some things that have been going on with USADA. And also, we're going to talk about the current rankings because of what happened with UFC 223. How is that going to actually affect the rankings? So we're going to cover the rankings today as well. But we're going to kick things off with covering a little bit more about Brock Lesnar. As we talked about earlier, on Monday, it was announced that Brock Lesnar had re-signed with the WWE and that he was going to be, he signed a multi-year deal with the WWE and that he was going to pretty much stay there for good. And that was pretty much, it pretty much meant that his MMA or UFC career was pretty much over. But as more and more details comes out about his new contract, it looks like that door is not closed. There's been talk that the contract that he signed, there's been some speculation that it's just a one fight deal with the WWE in which he'll have another pay-per-view event in which he'll drop the title. But the one that's the rumor that's been kind of going around that seems like it has the most legs is that he has re-signed with the WWE a multi-year deal with the WWE, but with the option of still being able to have one last fight in the UFC, which would mean if that's the case, Brock Lesnar, once his USADA suspension is up, which would take him closer to like September toward the end of the year, the talk of him fighting against the winner of Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier is still a strong possibility, which is really exciting. Talk about being able to finish off the year strong. If you're able to set up the super fight, Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier, and the winner gets Brock Lesnar, man, talk about selling pay-per-views. Both of those two events on their own would be, you know, blockbuster events. But to be able to say it's kind of a round robin, the winner of Stipe versus Daniel gets a big payday against Brock Lesnar is just huge. When you think about that possibility, if it's Stipe versus Brock, I would definitely take Stipe. But if it's Daniel, that is an interesting fight because you have this big mammoth Brock Lesnar against a very small heavyweight. Daniel's not a small light heavyweight. He's a short heavyweight, light heavyweight, but he is not a small light heavyweight. But he is short and he is small against Brock Lesnar. And but he is one of the best of all time. When we look at his results, Ken has never been stopped. No one has ever been able to stop him as a heavyweight. Only John Jones has ever been able to stop him as a light heavyweight. So only one man has ever stopped Daniel Cormier. And you set up a fight where it's Daniel versus Brock Lesnar. I would have to see it. I hope this is, you know, and this is all speculation because a lot of the contract information hasn't gotten out. But it seems like the way it sounds that's kind of going out around right now is that Brock Lesnar does have an option in his contract that he will sign, that he will be in the WWE for long term, but has the option for one more UFC fight. And I think that makes sense because Brock really only has one or two more fights in the UFC kind of left in him. He's getting up in age, and it would be the perfect scenario. One, if he was able to go to UFC and win the heavyweight title one more time, that star would just shine like never before. But if he goes there and he fights the heavyweight champion of the world, which is Stipe or Daniel, and he loses, it really doesn't hurt him as far as a WWE star goes. Look at Ronda Rousey dropping two straight in the UFC, but she's wrestling in WrestleMania and looking good doing it. So it wouldn't affect his WWE career. It could only help his WWE career. So I think it's a smart move. And I really hope that's the case. At the press conference, when Dana White was asked about the possibility of Brock Lesnar coming back, and Dana White said that he definitely thinks he's coming back, and he makes no words that he would be happy to make the fight between the winner of Daniel and Stipe, the fight Brock Lesnar. And once again, whenever I say that, it always makes me laugh. Or makes me chuckle about the look on Daniel Cormier's face as it just lit up, as he was just really shocked that Dana White did say that. And I think Daniel definitely would be on board. And I know Stipe, I'm pretty positive Stipe would be on board with a big super fight. To go back-to-back super fights would just be huge. And talk about the UFC finishing their year strong. That would not be a bad way to finish your year. Also, if you're talking about one last fight and you're saying Brock Lesnar has one more fight, and if it's not going to be Daniel and Stipe, do not count out the possibility of Brock Lesnar fighting John Jones. That topic has been brought up before. It's a fight that I know both fighters would be open to, and that's another fight that would be a big blockbuster fight. I know that John is under suspension, but don't be surprised if USC will kind of finagles around that so that John Jones versus Brock Lesnar could happen. So those are the two fights that I kind of look at when I start looking at what's next for Brock Lesnar. If he does have one last fight left in the UFC, it's definitely going to be a barn burner. And I mean, those, just John Jones or Stipe or Daniel Cormier, one of those three versus Brock Lesnar is just what you call box office. Now, with that subject, we're going to go on and we're going to talk a little bit about Paige VanZant. And Paige VanZant just had her book come out this week called Rise, Surviving the Fight of My Life. And she's been making the rounds, and there was a lot of headlines about her interview that she did on ABC News. where she talks about how when she was younger, 14 or 15, that she was a victim of sexual assault and bullying. And she talks about the, and I'm not going to go into details about the sexual assault or and things, but she was a victim of sexual assault. And that was a big shocker. The reason why I bring this up is I was very surprised at how a lot of the MMA fans kind of reacted. As with no surprise, there was a lot of fans that were on her side and really supported her, and which you should. Make no bones about it. Paige is, you know, whether you think she's a great MMA fighter, an average MMA fighter, or a hyped up MMA fighter, someone going through sexual assault is never a fun. It's never something to take lightly, you know. And but the thing that was kind of ugly about this is that a lot of fans kind of went the opposite direction, and they really attacked Paige, especially on social media, in which there was fans talking about that, you know, she just that she's making this up, that she just did this to sell books. Just a lot of really mean, evil things that were said. And I was kind of surprised because Paige has a very loyal following. But there have been a lot of people coming out, a lot of fans coming out and saying a lot of nasty things, especially when you look at the fact that Paige talks about how after the sexual assault, and then it got out, and then people started picking on her and bullying her, and that she thought about suicide. That suicide was one of the things that crossed her mind. Not that she wanted to die. She just wanted the bullying and all the picking on her to go away. So, I mean, that's, to be able to bare your soul and tell this story, whether it's, you know, 10 years later or if you're ever able to tell that story, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where people are on Facebook and Twitter and social media, they get to hide behind a keyboard, and things that people would never say to someone's face, they're more than happy to say it on a social media platform. And there's been a lot of really nasty things that's been said. And I tell you, you know, if you're one of the people that's putting out, you know, the bad comments toward Paige, you know, think about if it's your family member or your sister or your mother or someone like that. In a case like that, you want to be able to support them and help them through it, because there's a lot of people that go through this and they don't have any support. But it was just one of those things that I, you know, we're just going to talk about briefly. We're not going to talk about this long, but she just talks about the book is she talks about her journey and everything that she went through and how MMA pretty much saved her life, because she was really down. And MMA kind of gave her the confidence and brought her up. And, you know, I know that to be true, because I've competed in martial arts for many years. And I've seen a lot of people who've walked in the gym that didn't have the confidence, and how training for MMA gives them, as they get better, their confidence level goes up and up and up. And that's one of the great things about the MMA world. There's a lot of people who support you, but it also builds confidence. And there's a lot of good side, especially with the situation where there's a lot of negative talk about Conor McGregor attacking the bus and Ray Borg getting glass in his eye and things like that. To be able to look at that, the MMA world as a way, as a safe haven for Paige VanZant, and how it got her life back on track, and how she's overcome sexual assault and possible suicide thoughts to become a major superstar is just a great story. And we don't get anything for recommending the book, but I recommend you pick it up. I definitely will. I just got some, you know, just read some little bits of it and watched some of the interviews, and it just seems like an interesting story, and I will definitely pick it up. With that, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Joanna Jędrzejczyk. We're going to talk a little bit more about Khabib and Tony Ferguson. And then later on, we're going to be talking about the current rankings in the UFC. Stay tuned, and we will be back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back. And in the first segment, we talked a little bit about Brock Lesnar and his possible contract that with his new WWE contract, that there may be an option where he is allowed to have one more UFC fight. And we were doing the speculation that it could be the winner of Stipe versus Daniel Cormier or even possibly John Bones Jones. And then we finished up with talking about Paige Van Zandt's new book, Rise, Surviving the Fight of My Life. And we talked about that fight, about that, and some of the tweets that she's been getting that wasn't quite so supportive. We're going to move on from that, and we're going to go back to that UFC 223 event, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And with her no longer being the women's strawweight champion, her stance where she, after the fight, she was very hard fast on the fact that she was going to stick around into the strawweight division. She is now kind of opening it up the possibility that going to the flyweight division is actually an option. She says, you know, her reclaiming her 115-pound title is a major priority for her, but she is not opposed to going up to the 125-pound division and the flyweight division. I personally think that's a good move on her part if she wants to do that. If Rose is going to keep that title, which is a strong possibility, then Joanna is a long, long way away from a title shot now. With her losing back-to-back fights with her, it makes it so she's going to have to Rose would have to do what Joanna has done and have beat everyone in that division. But that is a very tall order. Beating Claudia Gadelha, Jessica Andrade, Karolina Kovačević. There are some beasts of some strong, really technically sound fighters in that division. And if Rose slips up, Joanna is right back in the title mix. She would be the very first one that would get a title shot. So is it better for her? She goes up to the flyweight division. She moves right as her and Valentina Shevchenko are like the two number one and number one A as far as the number one contender for that for a title shot. But I tell you what. Avoid Valentina Shevchenko at all costs. She's the one fighter that I think I've always thought would, if there's anyone that was going to beat Joanna, that she was the person that I thought could do it. I did not think it would be Rose, and I was wrong on that one. But going up to a fight where Valentina would be a very solid, technically sound fighter, a very, but a much bigger, stronger fighter, she's very familiar with Joanna. She's beaten Joanna before in Muay Thai. That could be a bad matchup for Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I don't know if that's a situation where is that the best move for Joanna in her career, in which she could kind of kick back and just wait her time and see if Rose holds on to the title. Because I would wait around and see, because it looks like it's going to be Jessica Andrade or Karolina Kovačević. And if Rose holds on and she defends the title, then you move up. But I wouldn't, if I'm telling Joanna Jędrzejczyk, I am not telling her to move one bit until after I see what Rose does now that she is the champ. She is, you know, and most times I always say, you're not really the champ until you defend it, because it's a totally different ball game. But in this particular case, defending it for the second time, because, you know, you have a situation where you're fighting the same fighter when you fought Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the first, winning the title and then defending the title. This is the first time she's going to have to defend the title against someone other than Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And I would like to see how she handles a Jessica Andrade or Karolina Kovačević or Claudia Gadelha or one of those guys before I would tell Joanna Jędrzejczyk to move up in rank. So just wanted to bring that part up. Another thing that came up in the news, they were talking to Tony Ferguson. And Tony Ferguson tweets that you stripped me of my title because of this performance, pretty much implying that he was not impressed by Khabib and his title defense. I mean, it's not a title defense. It's him winning the title, and that he doesn't feel like that performance was enough for him to get stripped of that title. And it's one of those things where I don't really, you know, I've said this before. I think a lot of people are very confused about Khabib and his performance at UFC 223 against Al Aliquinta. I think it shows, number one, it would be a totally different fight if, like a lot of people say, if that was Tony Ferguson would have beat that Khabib. But that Tony Ferguson would not have fought the guy that fought Al Aliquinta. Khabib was training, preparing for Tony Ferguson. First off, he was fighting Al Aliquinta on pretty much a one day notice. Two, Khabib, even though it may not have been Khabib's best performance, Khabib won every single round of that fight, and there wasn't a round that was even close. And Al Aliquinta, who has very heavy hands, he's a very dangerous fighter. Khabib won the ground game and he won the stand-up game. He was able to work on a lot of things that he would not have normally been able to work on in the ring, such as kicks, fighting as a southpaw, working on the jab. He was comfortable enough against a top 10 flighted fighter to work on his game and do things that you had never seen before, in which if he was in the ring with a Tony Ferguson or a Conor McGregor, he would not have done those things. He would stay closer to his regular game plan of taking you down, severe ground and pound, and not letting you up. So for, you know, when Tony Ferguson said he's not impressed by that Khabib, or when you see some sports announcers saying that Tony Ferguson would have beaten that Khabib, Tony Ferguson would never have received, or really would have never actually fought that Khabib. So, I just wanted to say that part, because there's a big misconception on, you know, why, you know, because it's a lot of talk that he did not look good. Be careful what you wish for. I think Khabib is the most dangerous guy in that division. And if Conor McGregor or Tony Ferguson thinks that's the guy that fought Al Aliquinta is going to be the guy that they fight, they're sadly mistaken. The next thing is, as much as I like Tony Ferguson, he's kind of out of the mix. And one of the things that could be talked about when it comes to Tony Ferguson is the fact that when Tony Ferguson comes back, because he's going to be off for like a year, Tony Ferguson, I doubt, is going to get an automatic title shot when he comes back. That's one of the things that Khabib was talking about. When he comes back, which will be a year layoff, he's going to have one fight to show that he's, you know, that he is back. And then his next fight would be a title shot. But don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that the minute he comes back, that they're going to give him a shot at Khabib. First off, Dana White does not even really want this fight to happen anymore because the fight just seems snake bitten. Are you going to book it for a fifth time when this fight could possibly, get canceled again? They're once bitten, twice shy, five times. I don't think so. I think Tony Ferguson, after his layoff, after his surgery, and after once he heals up, he's going to have to fight a couple of times before he gets a title shot. The best thing could happen for him is that Conor McGregor comes back and wins. That would be the more direct route for him to get a shot, because there's a whole stigma that the Khabib Tony Ferguson fight is just snake bitten, and no one really wants, in the UFC that is, all the fans want to see it, but no one wants to book that fight again because of fear of it just not happening. But the fans, I still want to see it. I still hope that they eventually put that fight together. But don't be surprised if, like I said, Ferguson has to put together some wins before he gets another shot at Khabib. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rankings, with how the fights from UFC 223 and how it affected the rankings. We'll also talk about some of the pound-for-pound rankings as well. Stay tuned, and we'll be back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, we're back, and we were just talking about Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and what's next for her is a move to flyweight, a possibility. It seems like it's more, that she's becoming more and more open to that. We also talked about Tony Ferguson's comment and how he wasn't really that impressed by Khabib's fight. And now we're going to go, and we're going to talk a little bit about how these fights actually affected the rankings here. So the first thing we're going to do in the middle here is we're going to talk about the co-main event, and we're going to look at the results and the outcome of looking at Rose Namajunas now becoming the reigning and defending champion, and what is that going to do for the division. Well, of course, at champ, Rose is ranked number one. Looking at the current strawweight rankings here, surprisingly, I was expecting Joanna to drop a little bit further. I was expecting Joanna to drop down to maybe number three, number four, with her having two back-to-back losses. But she is actually the current number two ranked strawweight in the division. Number three is Jessica Andrade, which she just came off of an impressive win against Tisha Torres, and is looking strong, and looks like the number one looks like she's the most likely person that's going to be fighting Rose Namajunas. At the number four spot is Claudia Gadelha. Claudia Gadelha is 15-3. She's lost to two people, twice to Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and once to Jessica Andrade. She has a fight coming up against Carla Esparza, which will go a long way in determining who's going to get that next title shot. Carolina, number five is Carolina Kovacevic, with a record of 12-2. She just came off of a big win against Felicia Herrick. She just two fights before that had just beat the current champion Rose Namajunas. She is definitely in the thick of things for a title shot. Number six is Tisha Torres, who had just lost to Jessica Andrade, and with her coming off a loss right now, is not in the title picture. Number seven is Carla Esparza. She's a little ways off from the title picture. Carla Esparza, 12-4. She's the very first strawweight champion. Lost to Joanna Jędrzejczyk, but came off of a win against Cynthia Calvillo, and she won the title by beating Rose Namajunas. That puts her right in the thick of things. If she can beat Claudia Gadelha, do not be surprised if Carla Esparza isn't the next person to come in for a title shot. We'll talk about a few other ones. Felicia Herrick, who is number 15. I mean, it's number 8. She's 15-7, but she just came off of a big loss to Carolina Kovacevic. And if she would have won, she'd have been in the title picture, but now it's kind of out of it. Cynthia Calvillo, who had a loss, who just is coming off of her very first loss against Carla Esparza, and she's actually on suspension. So that's your top fighters for the strawweight division. And it really didn't change. I was expecting it to change a little bit more. I thought Joanna would drop a little bit further, but she didn't. Now, if you're looking at that women's division and you look at the pound for pound rankings, then it's a little different. And I'm going to go through the pound for pound women's rankings kind of fast, and then I'll get to the men. Number one, pound for pound, is Chris Cyborg. Number two is Amanda Nunes. Number three, at 15-3, is Valentina Shevchenko, who just came off of a brutal beating of her opponent on February 3rd. And she is now the top fighter and the most dangerous fighter in that flyweight division. Number four, Rose is now in as one of the top fighters now. She's ranked number four as the strawweight champion. Number five is Joanna Jędrzejczyk, who just lost two fights to Rose. Six is Jessica Andrade. Seven is Claudia Gadelha. Number eight is Raquel Pennington, who is actually going to be fighting Amanda Nunes. Her last fight... It's been a little while. Her last fight was against Miesha Tate. So that was November 2016. And now she has a title shot where she's going to be fighting Amanda Nunes. That is going to be an interesting fight. Nine, Carolina Kovacevic. And number 10 is Jermaine Duranemi, the former featherweight champion who gave up the championship title so she didn't have to fight Chris Cyborg. I don't put her in my top 10. She's not on my pound for pound ranking. I just couldn't. I can't trust Jermaine Duranemi enough to put her in the top 10 women fighters, especially since you gave up your title so you didn't have to fight Chris Cyborg. Can't do it. That's my take on the women's division. Now, I wanted to talk about how things are going to look in that lightweight division. It's been a big giant log jam for the last year as they're trying to decide who is the champ. You know, Conor McGregor, he won the title. He beat Eddie Alvarez. Is it Khabib, 20, 25 at the time, 26-0? Is it Tony Ferguson? you know, Conor McGregor, I mean, Eddie Alvarez, does he deserve a shot? Is Dustin Pedroia, is he, I mean, Pedroia, is he a, you know, a title a contender? And so I wanted to see how the rankings kind of shaped out there. Now that there's an undisputed champion, and I know a lot of people may dispute that, but there's only one champion in this division now. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at who's number two. Number one, of course, is Khabib because he's the champ. And just by beating Justin Gaethje and becoming champ, that's natural. He's going to be number one. A lot of people would have said Conor McGregor would be the number two fighter, but it's actually Tony Ferguson at 22-3. Tony Ferguson was the interim champ, just got stripped of the interim champ, interim title. Conor McGregor just got stripped of the actual title, but Tony Ferguson is actually ranked higher. So Tony Ferguson is two, Conor McGregor is number three, Eddie Alvarez, which is number four, and don't be surprised if Eddie Alvarez does not get a title shot in there as well. Dustin Pedroia is number five, Edson Barboza is six, Michael Chandler is seven, Justin Gaethje is eight, Kevin Lee is nine, and number 10 is Nate Diaz. So all of these guys are all within striking distance. Very curious to see what happens with who's going to be the next fighter to fight Khabib. I personally think it's going to be nobody on this top 10 ranking. Everyone that I just named, Khabib, Mina, Tony Ferguson, Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez, Dustin Pedroia, Edson Barboza, Michael Chandler, Justin Gaethje, Kevin Lee, Nate Diaz are not going to be the next title contender. I think it's going to be George St. Pierre. Khabib wants that fight. It's a super fight in the land of the UFC wanting super fights. Well, that's probably the biggest fight you can have. I think that fight is going to happen, and I think there's going to be an even longer, because there's been a lot of people waiting for a title shot in this division, and that line is just getting stacked up and more stacked up. Well, if the GSP Khabib fight actually happens, that line could be a wow, especially when you're looking at a situation where if you have the GSP versus Khabib fight, it gives Tony Ferguson a little time to get his knee taken care of and healed up. It gives Conor McGregor a little time to take care of his legal issues and then be ready to fight again. It's the perfect scenario to go Khabib versus GSP. GSP could be the first man to ever win three titles in three different weight classes. Khabib wants to solidify his legacy. That is the perfect fight to have. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the pound-for-pound rankings and how this affected, how UFC 223 affected the pound-for-pound rankings. Number one is Demetrius Johnson, and this is the ESPN rankings. I don't, even though I think Mighty Mouse is amazing, I don't know if I make him my number one fighter. My number one fighter is still drug test, no drug test, suspended, not suspended, is John Bones Jones. I got John Jones as my number one fighter pound for pound, but, and this one is Demetrius Johnson one, which they were trying to get together a TJ Dillashaw Demetrius Johnson fight, but it doesn't look that's going to go through. You have John Jones at number two. He is currently suspended. I would not be shocked if John Jones does not figure out, they do not figure out a way to how to get Brock Lesnar and John Jones in the ring. Number three is TJ Dillashaw, in which he's coming off of a second round KO of Cody Garbrandt, and he has a fight coming up on August 4th against UFC 227. Cody and TJ Dillashaw are going to go at it again on UFC 227. So that fight's going to happen again. So looking forward to it, seeing that one. Originally, originally everyone was thinking it was going to be Demetrius Johnson and TJ Dillashaw, but that fight just kind of fell apart. Number four, you have Tyron Woodley, who his last win was against Damian Maia, in which he ended up hurting his shoulder. And right now, the way it sounds is he is going to be fighting the winner of Kobe Covington versus, let's see, who is he fighting again? It slipped my mind here. It'll come to me in a second, but, Rafael Dos Santos. So it looks, so Tyron Woodley will be having a fight coming up very soon. Number five is Max Holloway. Max Holloway in the news, only 4 pounds away from that Max Holloway Khabib fight. I was so looking forward to seeing that, but the commission stepped in and just said it was not safe for him to drop the weight. He was 4 pounds away, and they just said it was just too much, and they pulled it out. That's another possibility that Khabib, that Max Holloway could move up in weight and be and challenge for the lightweight strap and vacate his featherweight title at some point. So that's, he's number five, and he, all right, and he has a fight against Brian Ortega coming up. Number six, this is what we're looking for, is how did the rankings affect, how did UFC 223 affect the rankings? Khabib Nurmagomedov is now the number six rated fighter pound for pound. The current lightweight champion just coming off of a win with Al Alaquinta. And he is now the number six pound for pound fighter. We'll see who he fights next. Number seven and number eight, it's the heavyweight champion. Number seven is Stipe Miocic, and the number eight fighter is light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier. They are scheduled to fight July 7th at UFC 226. Cannot wait to see that fight. Two of my favorite fighters. I'm looking forward to seeing the Ultimate Fighter with them. I'm looking forward to seeing how they interact. But this is going to be an interesting fight. It doesn't come any tougher than Daniel Cormier. It doesn't come any tougher than Stipe Miocic. Both of these guys are technically sound. It's going to be an interesting fight. And I still do not know who I'm going to take in this fight and who's going to win. Now, if you go to number nine, it's Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, because he hasn't fought in over a year and a half, is kind of dropping, has dropped in rank. He's down to number nine. I think he's going to be on the shelf for a little while because he's going to have more lawsuits than he can handle, and he's going to have a lot of legal issues to do in New York. As I said in the last episode, I know a lot of people are not taking it serious and don't think that he will have any chance that he's going to serve time. I see it differently. I keep bringing up the Plaxico Burress thing, where no one thought Plaxico Burress would serve time. Plaxico Burress spent almost 2 years in Leavenworth prison. Don't be surprised if Conor gets at least some time, 6 months. Or something like that. I think he's going to get a couple of years probation and 6 months in jail or 3 months in jail. But I think he's going to spend some time. This is only me. I'm the only person that's making that prediction. I just have seen what has happened when people have gotten in trouble in New York in the past. And that's a wrong place to get in trouble, especially for a guy who took pretty much 10 hours on his way here to think about his actions. He's going to have a really good legal team. Now, number 10 is actually Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson's number 10. He was supposed to fight Khabib, came off of a submission win over Kevin Lee. Now he has a knee injury in which he just had surgery. I don't know how long he's going to stay in that top 10, considering he's not going to be fighting for the next 6 to 12 months. So I don't know how long he's going to hold on to that number 10 spot, but that gives you the rankings for the pound per pound, rankings for the men. We gave you the rankings for the women, for the lightweight, the welterweight. Just wanted to go over that just to kind of show you where things are at. When we come back, we're gonna wrap things up. We're gonna talk about some issues with USADA and how one fighter's just been suspended, one guy has just been kind of vindicated. We're gonna talk about that, and then we'll wrap things up. With that, stay tuned, and we'll be back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back, and we just finished talking about the rankings for men's lightweight and women's bantamweight division. We also talked about the pound for pound rankings and how the fights, the main event and co-main event, has affected the pound for pound rankings as well. Now we're gonna move on, and we're gonna talk a little bit about some things that have been happening in the UFC as far as USADA goes. Ben Rothwell has been handed a 2-year suspension, so he is for use of a banned substance. So he is now out. So 2 years, heavyweight Ben Rothwell has now been suspended. On the other end of this is a situation where Josh Barnett, who was suspended for taking performance-enhancing drugs, and he swore that he did not do that. And he is the very first fighter to actually prove that it was an actual tainted supplement. And after being suspended and his name being drug in the mud, and no one really believing that he really did not take a banned substance, because most times when you hear a fighter and that he's been popped for using PEDs, and what's the first thing everyone says? It is, oh, it had to be a tainted supplement. It had to be a tainted supplement. Well, guess what? Josh Barnett just proved, hey guys, it was a tainted supplement. And, you know, especially when you're looking at heavyweights, a lot of times people, you know, you're just assuming that the heavyweights are taking PEDs a lot of times. Well, he proved that it was a tainted supplement, and, you know, he had to spend a lot of money defending himself against the UFC and USADA, getting drugs tested. And so he is now turning around, and the company that created the supplements that he took that actually had a banned substance in their product, even though it's supposed to be clean, he checked it out, he did all his due diligence, and the steroid that was in there was not even listed. Well, he's actually suing that company for his, you know, for the fights that he lost. The fact that he's an older fighter and you can't get those years back and because he's been suspended. His reputation with the UFC. He's still having a tough time getting fights as things. So he is actually suing the supplement company, and I applaud him. I hope he wins. I hope he gets as much money as humanly possible. Because once you're popped, it's very hard to prove that you didn't do it. And you know, everyone, even when you say it was a banned supplement or whatever your excuse, whatever the excuse is, everyone tends to look at that fighter as, yeah, right, I don't believe you. Well, you can believe Josh Barnett. And I hope that he wins his lawsuit that he just filed. I also hope that this shows the UFC that there needs to be something else done as far as helping fighters defend themselves and getting the testing to show that they did not take the drugs that they have been accused of. I'm not turning a blind eye and just saying, you know, that they shouldn't be tested, but I think the UFC should be able to step in and help once someone is proven, once someone has been charged. I think it should be on the UFC or USADA's dime to help them test those supplements to make sure that they weren't tainted, because there is a number of supplements that are tainted. I saw a study where they went through one of the big supplement chains, and they tested every product in there, and it was like a third of the products were tainted. So fighters, you know, it's not a fair playing field when it's a landmine. You have to take supplements to train 2 and 3 times a day for hours at a time, but you're playing Russian roulette because you could take a supplement today and it's clean, and tomorrow, because the way they make it in big large bats and they take one out and then they make another one, that you could, the supplement you buy today may be clean, but the supplement you may buy next month may have something in it, trace elements from another product. That cannot be the case. There has to be something done to clean this up. And I'm hoping that Josh Barnett kind of wins this suit so it makes things have to change. So with that, I just wanted to share that part. And with that, we are going to wrap things up. And to all, have a
good
night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.